spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light,
to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation.
And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, The Shame Trumpet, was written by Arnold Perl and adapted from the short story of the same name by Chaim Nachman Bialik. Featured as Moshe is Paul Ball and Yossi is Santos Ortega. Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, Trumpet, was written by Arnold Perl and the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, The Shame Trumpet, was written by Arnold Perl and adapted from the short story of the same name by Chaim Nachman Bialik. Featured as Moshe is Paul Dubov and Yossi is Santos Ortega.
Kozyavka, a little village in Russia, a week before the prohibitions. The law said no more Jews may settle in the area. We were settled a week before by the skin of our teeth. Papa cut and sold lumber from the forest, and when you make a living like everyone else in the village, you meet the authorities. You establish, we'll call it, a simple friendship with the policeman. My papa, Yossi was his name, would meet the officer.
Yossi, the winter will be cold.
A coincidence, Mr. Policeman.
I just set aside half a cord of wood and marked it especially for you.
A friendship also between my papa and the cross-eyed sheriff.
Yossi, my dear friend, where did you get such a fine, fat hen?
You see this bag, Sheriff? Your Honor. She would fit in it like a hand into a glove. You think you could carry her home?
It was the same for all the others, for the peasants and the woodcutters, for everyone. As my father said,
normal relations have been established.
When Mama made hamantaschen on Purim, naturally she'd remember that the sheriff's wife was very fond of them. And while the Sabbath meal was being prepared, what was more normal than a visiting policeman?
Excuse me, Yossi. What is that smell?
A chicken my wife is rendering, Mr. Officer. Of course, you'll stay for the Sabbath meal.
In this fashion we lived. Our small house, three cows, two horses, chickens. Not wealth, a poorish life. But, as my mother said...
A quiet life, Moshe. A quiet life and calm.
Next door was the other Jewish family, the Zeligs, the only others in the village. And since in our house there were a lot of male and female children, and in Zeligs a lot of female and male children, Papa said,
we'll become in-laws. Certainly.
And since my oldest brother was 20 and Zelig's oldest daughter was 18, Zelig said...
Become. We are in-laws. Naturally.
It worked out fine. There was the Hebrew teacher for all the kids, and the path between our houses became clear and sharp, like a pot in the hair. We ran back and forth so much. And when I smelled something good cooking in Selig's house, I would run to Mama.
Mama, what's for supper?
For supper? Stuffed cabbage.
Oh, have you made it already?
No, but I'm... Moshe, you love stuffed cabbage.
I know, Mama, but couldn't you make chopped liver?
And what's the matter with stuffed cabbage?
Nothing's the matter. Only I like chopped liver, too.
So?
Mama Zelig is already making stuffed cabbage, and I know she'll bring some over like she always does. So if you make chopped liver and bring her some, then we can have both. Liver and stuffed cabbage.
It worked out fine. The only thing was the minion. We had no minion. All the men, Zelig's and ours, added up only to 7, 3 less than a minion. As Papa said...
A Sabbath, my son, without a minion, has lost half its flavor.
For without a minion, the Torah was not read. Without a minion, we would pray, yes, but each by himself, alone, it was thin. But when, by luck, a wood merchant would stay with us over the Sabbath, or Pesa Itzi, the dairyman from the next village, would be there, and there would be 10. Oh, what a Sabbath. For then there would be reading from the Torah. And I would go out to call all the people together, and we would sing, all together, blended. A minion is a chorus. A chorus? A symphony. What we did to make a minion. Once Papa came to me. Yitzchak, the wandering glazier, was in town and was going to leave and could not stay for the Sabbath. Papa said,
Moshe, no broken windows?
No, Papa. They're all right.
You're a bright boy, Moshe. So?
Well, maybe if I broke a few, Papa, you'd talk the glacier would have a reason to stay, and then he could stay also for this Sabbath, and there would be a minion.
You said it, not I.
It isn't a transgression, Papa.
A transgression? To give a poor man work and make a minion? Only, Moshe, make sure they're our windows. You break.
And sometimes there were only 9, and one more man was needed for a minion. So Papa would look at me very carefully.
Moshe, can you hold a Bible in your hand?
I think so, Papa.
And can you read it?
Mostly. Certainly, Papa.
If I squinted, you could be mistaken for one.
I'd sing so loud, Papa.
For tonight. Only tonight, mind you. You have become a man. We have our minion.
Then what a Sabbath. All day the house would have a special holiness. The pots would gleam brighter, and the gentle smile of Sabbath delight would be on everyone's face. Even Stjopa, the driver, who was not of our faith, his face too. And in the evening, Mama's time would come. Mama would light the Sabbath candles.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commanded us to kindle the Sabbath light.
All eyes were on her, and she would bring in the Sabbath. Without her, there could be no Sabbath queen. Then the house would be filled with loving kindness, and she would stand in the doorway, and in her eyes, I could tell what she was thinking.
We live, O Lord, isolated in a tiny village in the forest. But God is filled with kindness, and he is gracious. And he remembers this little room in his tiny village.
As the lights of the Sabbath candles flickered, I think they were the warmest flames in the world and the most beautiful. after the Sabbath, when the queen had gone, my brother would take down his violin and there'd be dancing, the Zaligs and us and the visitors. And with the waning of the Sabbath, there would be songs, and my father would sing Eliyahu Hanavi.
Eliyahu Hanavi.
And if the butcher was there, the butcher from the next village who was staying overnight, then there would be stories.
Tonight, a story of Elijah and the prophet. Once, many, many years ago, more than I can tell.
And everyone would be still. I most of all. And our eyes would glisten as the butcher talked. Even the samovar would bubble quietly so as not to interrupt. And his unhurried words were like a benediction and a dream all mixed together. Then I would understand my father.
The Sabbath, my son, is a queen.
Between the honey cakes, the chicken crops, the cabbage soup and stories, I understood my father's words. The Sabbath is a queen. Ah, I understood. The village grew. Papa's trees helped make hovels into homes. Sheep pens were built and fences. And also, Papa became an arbitrator. Sometimes the sheriff was too severe, so the peasants came to Papa. So it went. The Sabbath, friendships, little Vasily, the son of a peasant who came to our school to learn Russian. He learned it, too. Except he wrote Russian from right to left, the way you read Hebrew. And also, he learned to speak Hebrew. On New Year's Day, on January 1st, we wish the peasants Happy New Year, and on the Sabbath, the peasants, even the policemen, would say to me,
Good Shabbos, Moshe.
Good Shabbos, officer.
Good Shabbos, Moshe.
Good Shabbos, Sheriff.
Good Shabbos. Such was life. And then... Then Satan came. Satan was not a man, but rumors worse than man. There was a new governor in the province, rumors said, and new restrictions. Jews were being evicted. The home of none was safe. Envy spread. Our lives, which hung by kindness, now hung by a single thread. Taxes were increased, and then my oldest brother Samuel was taken to the Tsar's army. The peasants, they forgot the words, Gut Shabbos, and started stealing Papa's wood. One night, Stjopa, our driver, caught Sashka the wolf red-handed. What did Sashka do?
Oh. So tell Yossi we took his wood. Go, tell him.
So bold they became because of the rumors. When Papa went to the sheriff to complain...
I'm sorry, Yossi. I've investigated. I can't find the man who did it.
Nor was that all. A week later, Stjopa, the driver, came rushing into the house.
Reb Yossi! Reb Yossi, a plot...
What plot, Stjopa? What are you talking about? Speak.
I'm trying. At the inn, just now, I heard them. It's all the work of Sashka the wolf, the thief.
What are you talking about?
They're drawing up a paper against you. The governor. A lie to get you out of the village.
They wouldn't do it.
They're doing it right now. I saw them. Right now at the inn.
So Papa put on his coat and ran to the inn, and there he confronted them.
Is that what you want? Is this what you want to do to me because that man, a thief, tells you to? Can't any of you talk? Answer me. Is that what you want?
I'm sorry. And you, Ivan? When your daughter was sick, you came to my wife. And you, too?
Reb Yossi, I...
Well?
We were wrong. We were wrong, dear, here, to do a thing like this to a man like Reb Yossi. Ivan, get the paper from him. Throw him into the streets.
I'll do it.
Get him.
Give me the paper, Sashka. You thief! Into the streets!
Go, go,
Yossi, you brought us to our senses.
We might have done it if you hadn't come.
You saved us from committing a sin against a fellow man. Thank you, Rev Yossi.
Suppose we have drinks. All around.
No, Reb Yossi. Not drinks. Tread on me, beat me, for I nearly betrayed you.
My friend, take a drink. A hand clasp is better than a beating.
But it got no better. The rumors continued. They spread. Then came a summons for Papa from the sheriff. My father was to come the next day without fail at 8:30.
A complaint against you has come in. Anonymous, of course. Nevertheless, a complaint. I've got to act.
They want me to leave? Who? Why?
I told you all I know.
For 5 years I've paid taxes. For 5 years I brought only... Have I hurt the community, Your Honor? Have I not helped it? Yourself, even? No offense, Your Honor.
My hands are tied. Yossi.
Yes, Your Honor.
There is a man in the district office...
Who could do something?
No. No. He couldn't help you.
Your Honor, if...
No. It would be a waste of his time.
Any little thing, Your Honor. Even if...
Well... Well, you see him. Don't say I said to, but you see him. 9 tomorrow morning. Maybe. Mind you, I said maybe. Something can be done.
That maybe was worse than no. 9 in the morning, wait. Then another maybe. Each day my father would go, and each day his face would grow longer and his eyes sadder, but the answer was still maybe. His face looked as if they had shaved off his beard, and still the same answers. Maybe. See so-and-so. Don't say I sent you 8:30 promptly. And all of it? Nothing. And then, like a shining light in the darkness, came the letter.
It's Samuel.
Oh.
He's coming home from the army on furlough.
Oh, how long, Yossi? How long?
2 weeks. Oh. 2 whole weeks.
Oh, yes.
Listen what he writes.
Yes.
And, Papa, dear, I got a stripe.
Yes?
A promotion because I'm so good at it. They made me the trumpeter of the regiment.
Oh!
A trumpeter.
Oh. So when are they coming, Yossi?
Wait. Ah, listen. I shall arrive on Passover Eve.
Oh.
I spend the holiday with you.
Oh, and about his bride-to-be, about Zelda. What does he say?
Zelda?
Yeah.
Ah, don't tell Zelda. Let it be a surprise.
Oh, Yossi.
What are you crying for, Etta?
Oh, yes.
It's a good sign. The family will all be together for Passover.
We forgot the thread by which our lives hung, and everything was for Samuel's homecoming, everything for the surprise. Only, who can keep a surprise like that? With all the cleaning, all the pounding of the matzah, all the preparation, of course, the news leaked out. But maybe I said something about the trumpet to the little Zelig. Anyway, there was an argument between Mrs. Zelig and my mama.
Who ever heard of such a thing? Of course, he stays at my house.
Your house? Where should a son stay but in his own home?
A bridegroom must spend at least one Seder with his in-laws before a wedding.
He's been away from his own home 2 years.
Mama.
Go away, Moshe. His own flesh and blood
but,
should
but
come
Mama,
in.
But, Mama.
What? Can't I even have an argument without you?
Passover is 2 nights, Mama. No?
So?
So, one night Samuel could be at our house, and the next night at the Zelig.
A good idea.
Yes, it is. Oh, little Solomon. It's settled.
And Mama.
Yes, Moshe, more?
I was having a fight with the littlest Zelig.
Yes?
Who should meet Samuel at the station? Shouldn't it be his youngest brother? He says the youngest brother-in-law.
Well, what do you think, Mrs. Zelig? A young Solomon? You go.
¶¶ perfectly honest, I wanted to go not only to see my brother, but to see his trumpet. I had never seen a trumpet. And that morning, when he was to arrive, I thought we'd never leave. First, Stjopa had to fix the horses.
Hurry, Stjopa, hurry. The Passover will be finished, and you'll be playing with the horses.
Then...
Into the house with you, Moshe. You're going to meet your brother with a dirty face? Go wash.
Then...
I'm sorry, Moshe. A few minutes. The wagon has to be decorated for the Passover. I thought blue flowers.
Delays, delays, delays. I think even the smells in the kitchen were trying to delay me. I almost couldn't drag myself away. They were drawing the chicken, scraping the fish, my father preparing the haroses, the herbs, grinding the spices, the horseradish, all these things till I had to scream.
Stjopa, don't dawdle anymore. Let's go.
Oh, that trip to the station. The horse trotted, the bells jingled, the breeze blew, and the words flew from my mouth.
The first night, Stjopa, we'll have sponge cake and heart cake and nuts and raisins and game.
Ah, that's good.
And guess what the second night?
What?
Sponge cake and heart cake and nuts and raisins and game. And on both nights, Stjopa, wine.
Oh.
Look at the sky.
Huh? The sky?
It's a Passover blue, Stjopa. And the lakes, like Passover soup. Even the patches of snow.
Oh, what about the patches of snow?
Little bits of matzah, Stjopa. All for the Passover. Stjopa, can't you drive the horses a little faster?
And there was my brother at the station. He kissed me, and then I saw the case, the trumpet case. I didn't dare ask him if that was it, but I knew it was. And then, as we were driving back, I had to see it, you understand. I said...
Samuel, maybe they ought to know you're coming.
What?
You know. Tell them that we're getting close.
Now, what do you want me to do, little funny one? Huh?
Maybe if you blew a blast from the trumpet, then everyone would know...
Would you like that, funny one?
Oh, yes.
And he did it. He took the bright, shining trumpet from the case and blew on it. Music such as I never heard. Then everyone knew. Everyone heard. Everyone. The horse's hoofs said it. The jingling bells, the birds, the trees, they all knew it. My brother Samuel and his golden trumpet were coming home on Passover Eve.
Please.
And then... When we got to the turn of the road where the family should have been, where Papa and Mama should be, and everyone, no one was there. No one. A peasant met us. He told us.
2 hours ago, the sheriff's men came. Everything had to go. Even the pots cooking on the stoves, the bedding, everything. Your Papa and Mama are ahead up the road. 2 hours ago. Help them if you can. We couldn't.
A few miles out of the village, we met the wagons containing everything we own, everything we loved. There are not words to say how Mama kissed Samuel and what was on Papa's face. For this was Passover. And Passover that year fell on a Sabbath eve. And our family was on a road in a wagon on this, the anniversary of Israel's deliverance. We rode in silence as the darkness fell. Then Mama dried her tears and told Papa to stop the wagon.
Why, Etta?
It's time for the candles, Papa. It's sunset.
She reached into a bundle and brought out the 2 bright candlesticks.
And she walked away from the wagon to the edge of the wood. There she knelt. And soon we saw two tiny flames coming from the candles. Then we heard her.
Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who commanded us to kindle Sabbath lights.
Those tiny flames lit up the night until it became holy forest. It softened our gloom for us, sanctified our sorrow. We watched until the candles burned down, and then we moved on to the next village. Even the horses, it seemed, trot quietly so as not to disturb that holy place. In the next village, at a strange inn, we held the Passover service. There we commemorated the freedom of the children of Israel from bondage. The trumpets? You ask about the trumpets. It was left behind with all sorts of other things when we left. It never came out and let itself be heard. Maybe it was only a child's notion. But I thought the trumpet felt ashamed.
Our Eternal Light story today, The Shame Trumpet, written for radio by Arnold Pearl, was adapted from the short story of the same name by Chaim Nachman Bialik. Featured in the cast of Moshe was Paul Dubov, and Yossi was Santos Ortega. Larry Robinson played Moshe as a boy, and Adelaide Klein played Etta. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. The vocal soloist was cantor David Putterman, and the entire production was under the direction of Dan Sutter. Time has been given by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations to present this program in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.